The following WJR broadcast is brought to you by Mesa for good health, good business, and great schools. To learn more, visit MESSA.org.
I don't know. I thought, although I've been lambasted and made fun of already this morning, I thought it would be a good, helpful thing to talk with parents. You know, everybody talks about kids going to school. The kids are going off. Get the kids ready. Are the kids ready to go? Oh, you're nervous. You're happy. You're excited. What about the parents? What about we parents who are... personally, in my case, sending Adam off to college, you know, that's a big deal. It's scary for the students, although they may not ever say it, but it's scary certainly for we parents, I think. And yet there's pride. You're proud as he heads off to Michigan. I couldn't be more proud, but I'm scared. I'm nervous. And for those of you who are empty nesters for the first time, your last child off to school or moving away, I just thought it would be helpful to talk to a doctor who might offer some words of encouragement and ways to deal with some of the feelings that people are having. You're sending your child off to first grade or kindergarten or nursery school or whatever it might be. It's a very emotional, tough time. I figured a little free advice. And who better to go to than the only guy I know who went to medical school and graduated with his degree. He went to dental school, and he graduated and got his degree. He went to law school. He graduated and got his degree. I mean, you're like a one-stop service center here, Doc. Dr. Howard Belkin, psychiatrist with Beaumont Health System. Have you ever analyzed why you got your dental degree and your law degree and your MD and specialized in psychiatry?
Well, Paul W., sometimes I think I had a little too much time on my hands when I was
apparently
when I was younger. But thank you for having me here this morning. And it's a great topic to talk about.
Well, it's important, and I know you have children. In fact, I'm trying to think, Dr. Belkin, was it Elise, was it Jackie, or was it Stephanie, one of your three beautiful daughters that came up to say hi or walked by us at the Pancake House, and I noticed had such shiny shoes on.
Jackie was the one who had those beautiful shoes, but thanks for remembering all three of them, Paul W. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that we were doing our, at the time it was a Chrysler Group broadcast at the original Pancake House in Birmingham.
Yes, it was. We go there almost every morning for breakfast.
Well, aren't you lucky? All right, so let's talk a little bit about this. I suppose we have to start with so that everyone really understands exactly what empty nest syndrome is, really.
You know, Paul W., empty nest syndrome is something that I have been seeing lately very frequently. It's a period of time when either the first, second, third, or last child leaves the house for college, for marriage, or lately for kindergarten, that the parents really don't know what to do. The empty nest refers to the fact there are no more children in the house anymore. There can be some real significant symptoms of depression and anxiety in the parents, even though, as you said, this is such a happy time for the kids.
Well, it is. It can be scary, but it's a happy time. Kids, whether they want to admit it or not, are generally excited to get back to school.
Sure.
But in the real true sense of the empty nest syndrome, and that is where everybody's gone, and for the last 15, 16, 17 years, it's been the gang. It's been the family.
Yes.
And now there are two people, God willing, hopefully, there are still people who are actually married, that two people are together and look at each other and go, hi, how are you? Gee, it's nice to be able to talk to you without any interruptions. And, gee, we can go places and not worry about anything and watch television, watch our own channels and listen to our own radio stations and whatever. It's a big adjustment.
Oh, it's a huge adjustment. After 18 years of having kids and always focusing on the children, as you know, in our lives as parents, with my children, with your children, with the listeners' children, we focus 90% of our attention on our kids. What are they doing in school? What are they doing with their friends? Are they doing well? Are they getting in trouble? Our conversations with our spouses involve our children most of the time. All of a sudden, the children are gone, and you're sitting there with someone who, in the 18 years that you've been raising your children, may have become a stranger. That can be a problem, because all of a sudden, the kids that you've been dealing with on a day-in and day-out basis, the topics that you've been talking about for all of this time, are gone. And as you were just saying, you can be sitting across the breakfast table, the dinner table, or as we've all seen, we're sitting in restaurants next to a couple who say nothing
never talk at all.
And therein lies a problem. The couple needs to get to know each other again.
You know, it's a funny but terrible thought. You can tell who's married and who's not married,
right,
in a restaurant.
You could even tell a first date. When I'm sitting at a restaurant with my wife, Barbara, we will at times be able to guess who's been married a long time, who are newlyweds, and the most obvious is who's on the first date. The first date people are always introducing themselves, talking a lot, and the ones, unfortunately, who've been married a long time, they may have run out of things to say. That's why a little bit of preventive medicine in the case of a relationship can be extremely important.
How sick, this just occurred to me, how sick do you see a society that has a business, a thriving business? I can't remember the name of it, and I don't want to give them a plug anyway, but I railed about it a long time ago when it first came out, where they're advertising to put married people together with other married people.
That's probably one of the worst things that someone could do. That's probably the quickest way not only to destroy a marriage, but really
society.
To destroy society.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm glad we're on like mind, yeah, of that. I didn't get a chance to ask you about that off air. So you're a parent. You're sending your child off to college. I'm now getting personal because I need some,
sure,
advice here. So you're sending your child off to college for the first time. You don't want to be one of the new words in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the helicopter parents.
Right.
You don't want to be helicopter parents. You want to use another word from the new dictionary. You don't want your child to be a boomerang child.
Right.
but how often is too often? I mean, how much involvement can we have without appearing to be interfering with their experience off away from home for the first time, quote-unquote, on their own?
You know, I think it's important to remember that our kids are 90% of our lives, but we are only about 10% of our children's lives. So if you keep that percentage in mind, you as a parent probably want 9 or 10 times more the contact with your child than your child wants to have with you. You'd probably have contact with your child once, twice, three times a day just to see how class went, how date went, how relationships went. The child probably wants to talk to the parents about once a week or so.
Oh, man. Oh boy.
You're going to have to get used to it because, as you know, the older they get, the less contact they have. It doesn't mean that they don't love the parent. What it means is they are doing what we wanted our children to do, which is they are developing into adults, developing their own lives, having relationships, one day, God willing, having children, and becoming the people that we wanted them to be.
So the with texting available, is it okay to just do a quick text once a day? Just
I think a limited amount of texting, a few words. You know, texts are generally 160 characters. You don't want to send 160 characters multiple times a day. A quick I love you, how's it going, miss you, I think is the best thing in the world, especially the first few weeks at school. Now, you're fortunate because your son is only a few miles away at Michigan. Sometimes it's much more difficult. A child may be across the country,
right,
or maybe across the world, and the contact with that child is going to be much more strenuous, much more difficult.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're so helpful, Doctor. I appreciate that very, very much. I think you probably helped a lot of people today.
Well, thanks for having me on, Paul W. I always I really appreciate it.
Well, let me tell you, this the one thing that you said that's very interesting, and we don't like to think of it, but our children are 90% of our lives, but we're probably about 10% of their lives.
That's true.
It really puts into perspective what you're talking about and what we're feeling and what we're all going through, and we appreciate that. Doctor, best to Barbara, to Elise, Jackie, and Stephanie, and we'll see you around.
Thanks, Paul W. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Dr. Howard Belkin, a psychiatrist with the Beaumont Health System. But if you're there and he's helping you, he can probably do your teeth as well because he also is a dentist. And then if there's an infraction of some sort you have problems with in the middle of your conversation, he can sue someone because he's a lawyer. I think he needs to be analyzed as to why he did all this. I mean, really. And I'll happily analyze him anytime that he would like.
Talking about what matters to you. Paul W. Smith Mornings. Catch it live on News Talk 760 WJR AM. And stay up to date online at WJR.com.